In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to look at the Sunday readings today, and then we will go back to Luke's Gospel. Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, fixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens, and she called from the heights out over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come and eat of my food and drink of my wine that I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. I'm telling you, real wisdom helps you to live. Knowledge will get you a job. Real wisdom. And what is real wisdom? I'm telling you from 1 Corinthians 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God, it is the wisdom of God. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? The crucified, risen Lord. This is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is Christ crucified. Christ crucified on the cross. Christ who shed his blood for us. Lord Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is the crucified Jesus Christ. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Yes, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ crucified. That's very important. If you would want wisdom, then model yourself after the crucified Lord. Meditate on the crucified Jesus. Meditate on his blood. Meditate on his cross. Because the foolishness of God, which is the cross, is wiser than men. And the weakness of God, which is the cross, is stronger than men. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many of you were wise after the flesh, but many, not many mighty, not many noble. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I'm telling you, it's all about the cross. It's all about the cross. It's the preaching of the cross is the wisdom of God. The preaching of the cross. I'm looking at the second reading from Ephesians 5:15-20 Watch carefully how you live, not as foolish men, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Can I tell you that the days are evil today? Can I tell you that if we say gay marriage is a marriage, the days are evil? If you want to know what God thinks about gay marriage, look at Romans 1. Can I tell you today that the days are evil that today they will be in Planned Parenthood killing children, and some of the Planned Parenthoods will be selling the parts of the children. Can I tell you that the days are evil today? Can I say that? That Christians throughout the world will be persecuted today and die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you that the days are evil? Do you understand that? Do you understand that we have taken a turn not for the best, but we have taken a turn for the worst? We kill our children from the womb. We say that marriage is between a man and a man, a woman and a woman. I tell you, we have spoken, yet God will speak mightily, because he will not endure this foolishness, this foolishness. And I look at the gospel now. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. This is what Jesus says. And he means what he says. He means what he says. The flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate manna in the desert and died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." Jesus says that he is the bread of life, and that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. This happened at the Last Supper, when he took bread and he said, "This is my body." When he took a cup, chalice of wine, he said, "This is my blood." I tell you, unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, we have no life in us. Whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood abides in him. And it says in John 17, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will produce much fruit." And he's talking about people, bringing people to Jesus Christ. I just received a call from a Muslim lady, and you know what? They are having trouble with demons, and someone gave them my name. I cannot deal with demons at this time in my life, but I told her, "You got to give your life to Jesus." They said they're coming to the Mass on Saturday. You've got to give your life to Jesus, not the Quran. This is when people are desperate. Guess who they call? They call me. They call me. They're having trouble in their homes, three sisters. They want to know how to get out of this trouble. The only way out of the trouble is the wisdom of the cross, that Jesus Christ is the crucified Lord, and that those who believe in him receive salvation. Yes, those who believe in Jesus receive salvation. Salvation comes from believing in Jesus, who was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. Yes. And he tells us that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. I thank God that this morning I ate his flesh and drank his blood at Mass. I thank God that I did that this morning. He says, "If you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you abide in me and you will have eternal life." This is what he says. And you know what? He means what he says, and he says what he means. How do I know that? Because many of the disciples left him at this time.
They left him at this time. They said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? And Jesus did not call back the disciples. Now, a disciple was not a Sunday mass goer. A disciple was one that left everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus did not call them back. Why? Because he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. We're looking at Luke 12. And Jesus said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses or barns, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the birds of the air? I tell you, do you realize that you are special in the eyes of the Lord? Do you realize that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you? Do you realize that Jesus loves you? Do you realize that God has a plan for your life? Do you realize that? Do you realize that? You are much more important than the ravens of the air. God feeds them, and God takes care of them. Will he not more take care of you, O you of little faith? I believe God has kept me for years, and today is not the day he's going to drop me. He has kept me for years, and he will keep you for years as you give your life to him, as you give your life to him. As I said to this Muslim lady, you've got to give your life to Jesus. You've got to give your life to Jesus. And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his height one cubit? If you then therefore are not able to do such a least thing as this, why do you take thought of the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. Consider the wildflowers, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, if God cares for the wildflowers, and God cares for the ravens, will he not more care for us, we who have received the Holy Spirit into our hearts as we have believed in Jesus Christ and been baptized? Do we not know that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's going to take care of us? Don't worry. You know what the wisdom of the world is? The person who dies with the most toys wins. Well, I tell you, I never saw a person dying thinking about the toys that he had or she had. They were thinking about their family, that they would leave their family. Never were they thinking about the boat that they had, the Queen Mary. No, when people are dying, they're down to the least common denominator. I'm leaving my wife. Take care of my mother. Take care of my wife. Take care of my son. Yes, when Jesus Christ tells us that the lilies of the field grow and they do not toil, they do not spin, and that Solomon is clothed not like one of these, they're more beautiful. Then if God can clothe the grass which is here today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? In other words, if God takes care of the flowers and God takes care of the birds, how much more will he care for you, O you of little faith? He's calling people a name, you of little faith. Don't be of little faith. Believe. Believe today in the cross. Believe today that we are saved by the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Believe today that the ravens are being fed and God cares more for you and me than the ravens. Believe today that the lilies are growing, the lilies of the field are growing, and Solomon was not even arrayed like one of these. but God clothes the grass which is here today and gone tomorrow. Will he much more clothe you of little faith? Yes, of little faith. Don't be of little faith. Believe that what you need will be given to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That he gives us each day our daily bread. And we are not to worry about what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall put on. But rather seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added unto you. Your food, your drink, your clothing, your everything. God will add all things unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. Who is the king of the kingdom of God? His name is Jesus. He said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and it's an unshakable kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. I hope everyone is doing their tithing. There was a young man who came in to me the other day, and he wanted to know something that was on his mind, and I was able to help him by the grace of God. And he gave me $130 for the church. He said, this is my tithe. This is my tithe. This is good. This is good. Give alms. Provide for yourself bags which wax not, a treasure in heaven that fails not, which no thief can approach nor corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our treasure? Father, in the name of Jesus, my treasure is with Jesus. My treasure is at the right hand of the Father. My treasure is the one who died on the cross for me. My treasure is the one who was buried for me. My treasure is the one who was raised from the dead for me. Where is your treasure? For there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? I tell you, we need to make Jesus Christ our only treasure. Let your loins be girded about and your lights shining and burning brightly. For you yourselves are like men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding. And when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. I tell you, we talk about the wedding of Middle Eastern people. It has to do with the groom, not with the bride. The bride is the church. But I tell you that when we went to a wedding in the Holy Land, the bride was dancing with her people, and they were eating baklava. Good things were happening. And I said, where is the groom? Oh, he's upstairs hidden, and he's getting ready to meet his bride. His attendants are washing him, flowering him, making him ready to meet his bride. I tell you, when the bridegroom comes, will we be ready to meet him? Will we be ready to meet? If he knocks on the door, will we say, Lord Jesus, I've given you my life. You can come in. You can do whatever you want. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Truly I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to dinner and will come forth and he will serve them. And it shall come if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken into. But ye therefore be ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you do not expect him. I tell you, how do we keep ready? Oh, we keep ready by meditating upon the cross. We keep ready by meditating upon the blood. We keep ready by meditating upon the resurrection. Yes, be ready, for one day the Lord will come, either at the end of our life or he will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. Be ready. Be ready. It's not a final exam that you're going to have to cram for it in the last moment, because he's going to come at a time when we do not expect. Be ready. Stay ready. One of the saints was asked many years ago while he was playing chess, what would you do today if Christ was coming back today? What would you do? I'd continue playing chess because I'm ready. I'd continue playing chess. Why? Because I'm ready. God tells us, be ready, stay ready, be ready. Then Peter said unto Jesus, look, look, look. Lord, speak thou the parable unto us, or even to all. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat his manservants and his maidservants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of the servant will come in that day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Oh, are you a believer today? Are you a believer today? Lift high the cross, the life of Christ proclaim. Are you a believer today? I tell you, believers in Christ are in a good position because Christ dwells in their heart by faith. Jesus dwells in my heart by faith. I truly believe that he is the Lord and that he died for my sins. And I truly believe that he loves me, even though I do not feel his love right now. His cross tells me he loves me. He loves you. He loves me. He has plans for you and plans for me. We are to be ready for his coming, for he comes at an hour that we do not expect. And when he comes, will he find you ready? The only way that we'll be ready is if we stay ready. If we stay ready. I told the story a long time ago. I was going to give a talk for at Mass. It was about the apocalyptic readings about Jesus coming again and that we are to be ready. At that night, the fire alarm rang and I went outside the door and the door closed and I'm in my shorty pajamas. Oh yes, the Lord was telling me to tell the people that I was a symbol of not being ready. We need to be ready, ready at his coming, for he comes at a time that we least expect. He comes at a time that only the Father knows. I tell you, be ready. Meditate upon the cross. Meditate upon the blood. Meditate upon the resurrection. Yes, be ready. Stay ready. Are you ready? I want to ask you people, because we need $26,000 to pay our debts for July. And the only way we get this money is through God. He is our source, but he works through you. We need to pay our bills for July, and our bills are $26,000. And yes, we've got some of it in, but not even half. Please help us. Please help us. You can go online and leave a donation. www.inseason.net. 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 Or you can mail a donation to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. What have we learned today? Let's remember what we've learned. That through the preaching of the cross, people come to believe and are saved. Through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. What else have we learned today? That real wisdom is the crucified Jesus Christ. That is the wisdom of God, the crucified Jesus Christ. That is the power of God. What else have we learned today? We have learned today that if God takes care of the ravens, He's going to take care of you. If God takes care of the lilies of the field that grow, He's going to take care of you. That's what we've learned today. He's real. God will take care of you despite what you're going through. Believe it. Believe it. Don't be of little faith. Believe it. Also, what else have we learned today? That we are to seek first the kingdom of God, which is an unshakable kingdom, and that the Lord is coming at a time when we do not expect, so we've got to stay ready, be ready, meditate upon the cross, meditate upon Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. He comes at a time that we don't expect. Please be ready. Please stay ready. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.